Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day, for the gift of music that we are enjoying so much. It just touches our hearts and lifts us to heaven, to you. Thank you for being with us in the service. We pray also for the children, the young people that are next door participating in that service, that you will be very close to them, that Jesus, their Savior, will be so real to them, and they will want to love you more. Be with Rudy as he talks to us today about the young people. Thank you for these young people that are here today from various churches. And we pray for the young people around the world, Father, that are taking a stand for you in these last days of this earth's history. Help them as they dedicate their lives to service for you. As with all of us, we want to do what we can right now, spending our time and what funds we have, Father, for your work. While we can, while there's time, please use us. Be with this service, Father. Continue to bless and lead us. Be with all the prayer requests here in this basket, the ones that might be on our hearts this morning. And we thank you for answered prayers. We see sons and daughters coming back to you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rudy will be right with us. Just one moment. Praise the Lord. I'm carrying a book that is so precious to me. And somehow I wish I could do something. Can I get on down on my knees or anything? To somehow transmit that preciousness to you. I ask questions about this book, and somehow I think we are so far from this book that it's a real pity. The book is a Bible. Some 50 years ago, a man came to my bakery and asked me to be a missionary out in Saskatchewan. I was 19 years old. And I said yes. And that has changed my life. It has made all the difference that I ever made. Because through that, I met my kind wife. I had my employment. Everything that ever happened to me had its kernel there in the bakery. I want to remind you today that youth are in God's service. And somehow we have to change a growing old church to a growing young church. We somehow haven't let the young people really make it their church yet. And somehow I hope and pray and will do all I can that people will rise up and say, this is my church. This is what I want to do here. In music, in worship, in service, whatever it is. This is my church. I'm God's people. And so we have to change a few things. And I see the change through the eyes of David. It's just an amazing story as I have dealt with it now. Thank you. I'm supposed to sing. Okay, that's better. Youth is active. You know, the older you get, the more passive you become, the more satisfied you are to sit around. Youth wants to do something, am I right? They want to shake things up. They want to explore things. And I think we have become too passive. We think church is what you're doing now. You know what you're doing now? You're sitting. That's what you're doing. But I hope because the God speaks to us, the Holy Spirit catches us. I hope you're praying and I hope you're worshiping and I hope you're opening your heart to His Word. And we'll do something after you leave. Church starts after you leave. Church starts after we go out into the neighborhood and find a neighbor in trouble. This morning I went for my walk already, and as I was walking, I saw Red, one of our neighbors, trimming his trees, trimming his roses. And I said to myself, oh, I'm going for a walk. I have to get my walk in. And then all at once, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Red, did you talk to Red first? And so I had a short little visit with Red. And basically, we have to let the Holy Spirit guide us continuously. He tells you who to talk to. And we don't talk to enough people. We are just so into ourselves. We do everything our own. We're not active enough. The Holy Spirit brings action. That's what it is. Action. Open. Young people are open to our new ideas. What's those instruments up here? Amen. You know, 55 years ago when I became a Christian Adventist, if you would have had those, that would have been terrible. And nowadays, we have changed a bit. And some people are so stuck in the mud about their own preferences that they forget to worship God. We need to worship God and we need to welcome, open the Holy Spirit and the guidance that He gives to various people. We're going to have to change, folks. If you expect the church to be like this in 50 years, I have news for you. If the church doesn't change in 50 years, there's not going to be a church here. They're going to make it into a warehouse like they made it in the Ukraine and in Russia. Churches that are warehouses, storage places. And the danger is here, and it's happening already now. There's Christian churches being sold in Colorado and other places because there are no people. The church needs to be young. The church needs to have all ages. Am I right? Yes. Every age group needs to be strongly represented here. And right now we are missing one group. Why? Because the older ones are sitting on it. They're taking all of the major things on and they do it by themselves and say, I don't need your help. They don't know. We don't know how much help we need. And before I, anyway, serving. You know, when we were called to the mission field to serve in Singapore, that was the greatest adventure we've ever done, my wife and I. Serve the Lord in various places What a privilege, what an adventure, what a strong life. I hear people, you know, I come and people talk to me, and some talk to me about their problems. Wow, do I ever get it? Four. And some of them talk to me about their mission. Praise the Lord. They have a life. They have a spiritual life that reaches out into all kind of neighborhoods, in all kind of activities. And it's so varied. So your mission, serving. Well, I'm going in the wrong direction. Those people in the back can kind of fix anything I do here. At least I trust them. Thank you. Now the next one. Okay. What is your main gift? What is your main skill? What is your main preparation for God's work? What is your main fear? And then what is your main weapon? I knew I would make that mistake. David was just unbelievable. I've been studying David, 1 Samuel 16, 17, and 18. And it's just unbelievable how this young man was chosen by God and went forward in faith. Oh, I'm so fascinated by it. I hope I can share part of it. First of all, the gift. All the young men here. Samuel came to Jesse's house and he saw those big strapping seven brothers. Seven brothers. And you know, when there are seven people, you stop counting. And that was his mistake. But then afterwards he said, there's something wrong. I was sent to somebody particular, and I don't see that person here. All the young men here. And that's my question too. Are all the young men here? I see Jonathan here. Praise the Lord. He's going to have the benediction. So I know about it. But what a privilege that we are in the presence of the Lord. Here, Samuel came to anoint the new king. And so they all took a bath. They all washed up. They sanctified themselves. They thought. But the most important person in that group was missing. And nobody caught it until Samuel said, are all the young men here? Because they were not here. David was out looking after the flock. And so they all had to wait until he came back, until he washed up, and then the anointing took place. So what was David's main gift? If this would be a multiple choice, was it his heart? In verse 7, let me read this again. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. That's the oldest son. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We look at the outward appearance and we see a kid. And the Lord looks at that kid and says, this is a giant in the making for me. Amen. And we don't see those hopes. We don't see what we should see. I thank the Lord for a pastor, Larry Smart, who came to my bakery and saw something different than most people saw. I thank the Lord for my kind wife who saw somebody different from what most people saw. I would come to class after making the first dough of bread at 4:30, and I would come barely making it with flour all over me and smelling like flour. And some of the girls kind of pulled their noses up on me and said, well, what is this guy doing here? I was working my way through college. And the Lord looked not at my appearance, but he looked at my heart. And thank the Lord, he did that. His anointing, was the main gift his anointing? Or was it the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord is verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And it had to be done in secret, because otherwise Saul would kill them all. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And from that day forward, so Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Okay, let's vote. This is A, this is B, this is C. A, B, C. Okay? How many A's do we have? Okay, I see a few there. That's good, that's good. How many B's do we have? How many C's do we have? Oh, I think the C's got it. The A's and the C's got it. B's definitely didn't get it.
You're missing one, Rudy.
I'm missing one.
There should be D. All three.
All of the above. Praise the Lord. How many you give that for? Thank you. All of the above. You set me straight. That's what I need. Okay, let's go on to the second part. I mean, the first event there with Samuel and that young boy, David, coming late. And he didn't know what hit him. He came in there and all at once Samuel said, "You are getting anointed." Boom. And he emptied that horn of oil on him. And he was dripping with oil on it and says, "What happened?" And they told him. But now the second one, 1 Samuel 16:18. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look," they were looking for a music therapist because Saul was going bipolar and he needed soothing music. And they said, "Find us a skillful player on the harp." Verse 18, then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of war, of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Here the king was looking for some assistant. And who did he find? Am I doing something wrong? Usually I am. Okay, up. Can we go one back? Okay. What was David's main skill? Was it really the playing of the harp? Was he just a mighty man of war? You know, he was known as a sharpshooter. I was fascinated when the captain was in Phillips, off Africa there, was in that boat, and they brought three sharpshooters in, and they had one chance to do it. And there was no margin of error. And David was a shooter like that. He could hit his mark 100%. He knew exactly what he was after. Praise the Lord. Mighty man of valor. Prudent in speech. Okay, what was David's main skill? Harp playing? Okay. Now, all above again. Okay, we'll go on. But the question is, what is your main skill? What is your main skill? And God gives us gifts so that we can develop the skills, am I right? We are all gifted people, greatly gifted. If you think you have no gifts, you don't know yourself. You don't know your God. Because God gives gifts. And praise the Lord for that. Preparation. Before David could face Goliath, he had to face the king. And the king said to him, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You are too puny. You don't have the strength. You don't have the wisdom. How can you go on against the greatest soldier of his time, most likely Goliath, who had been training all his life, who had all that armor?" And David convinced Saul to let him go. How? He said, "I delivered the lamb. I killed both lion and bear." Here as a shepherd, his duty was to look after the sheep. And just amazingly, when a lion came, most shepherds would run. But he would attack the lion who was carrying off the lamb. And most likely took just a rock and clobbered the lion over the head. I don't know if he did it barehanded or not, but somehow he killed both a lion and a bear. So he had some experience. He didn't come green to the task. He had taken up every opportunity that he had and did something with it. And we don't have enough opportunities often. We have the opportunities. We don't take the opportunities. Praise the Lord that he gives us these opportunities. And as we take them, as we go forward, doing what seems impossible, the Lord lifts us onto the next step. Preparation. The Lord prepares us for service, for some great service.
He has for me.
He has for you. Praise the Lord. So what was David's main preparation? Killing the lion and the bear, or rescuing his sheep, or practicing his sling? I know you'll say all three, but there's a difference between them. At least one vote for A. He didn't go out to kill lions and bears, remember. He didn't go out to be a lion killer and a bear killer. He went out to rescue the lamb. Remember that.